We can listen to the stories we've just done, but it's hard to listen to it without knowing the ending, isn't it? But let's try this morning just to enter into the disciples' fear and bewilderment and disillusion and just utter disappointment and disorientation. The complete and utter failure of it all. And the cross was a complete and utter failure from their viewpoint. It was an absolute disaster. Their leader crucified. They'd left everything, their homes, their livelihoods, even their family. And they'd been part of this Messiah, this long-awaited revolution. They'd been part of it all. They'd witnessed miracles. They'd seen healings, people who were deaf and blind and mute, people who were paralysed. They'd seen a storm stilled. They'd eaten bread and wine that had been miraculously multiplied before their eyes. They'd even seen the dead raised. 3 years, three wonderful, exciting, bewildering, challenging years, gone, finished. It's over. And what more, Jesus didn't even stand up to his accusers. What was all that about? He didn't fight his cause. Why had he remained silent? Why hadn't he performed a miracle? He'd done that before, just slipping through the crowds. What had it all been about? Were they wrong? Were they wrong to follow him? Had he really been the chosen one? What happens now? Perhaps they're next on the list. They've just seen this utter pain and vulnerability and failure. Is that going to happen to them? We've all been there in one way or another. We've all experienced disillusionment and unease and pain in many walks of life. In many ways, it might have been faith, it might have been an unexpected job loss or the untimely death of a loved one or a diagnosis that we didn't want. Or even maybe a failure when we've tried to heal a relationship. Where's God in it all? Has he abandoned us? And in a moment, Jack's going to show us an image. It's an image of what as humans we deny and we're most afraid of exposure and failure and shame and vulnerability. Because Jesus became that image for all of us to see. And as you look at that image, or you might actually find it more helpful to close your eyes, I'm going to read a couple of pages from this book, The Universal Christ. Some of it's... My glasses are at the back. Sorry, I've got to go and get my glasses. Some of it is quite deep. And so don't worry if you don't pick up on it all, but you might just hear an odd phrase or word that stands out for you. This is Jesus speaking to us from the cross. I am what you are most afraid of. Your deepest, most wounded and naked self. I am what you do to what you could love. I am your deepest goodness and your deepest beauty, which you deny and disfigure. Your only badness consists in what you do to goodness, your own and anybody else's. You run away from and you even attack the only thing that will really transform you. But there is nothing to hate or attack. If you try, you will become a mirror image of the same. Embrace it all in me. I am yourself. I am all of creation. I am everybody and everything. And then, as humanity speaks back to the crucified one, I hate and fear the very things that will save me. May this thought help me to love these things, be patient with them, and even forgive them. I just cannot let anybody love me for nothing. I insist on being worthy and deserving. and then I demand the same to others too. Yet your arms remain outstretched and embracing to all the world. You alone, Christ Jesus, refuse to be a crucifier, even at the cost of being crucified. You never play the victim or call for any vengeance, but only breathe a universal forgiveness upon the universe from this crucified place, your upside-down throne. We humans so often hate ourselves, but we mistakenly kill you and others instead. You always knew we would do this, didn't you? And you accepted it. Now you invite me out of this endless cycle of illusion and violence towards myself and towards everybody else. I want to stop crucifying your flesh, this blessed humanity. I thank you, Brother Jesus, for becoming a human being and walking the full journey with me. Now I do not have to pretend that I am God. There is more than enough and more than good just to know that we are doing it together. I thank you for becoming finite and limited, so I do not have to pretend that I am infinite or limitless. I thank you for becoming small and inferior, so I do not have to pretend that I am big and superior to anybody. I thank you for holding our shame and nakedness so boldly and so publicly, so I do not need to hide or deny our human reality. I thank you for accepting exclusion and expulsion, being crucified outside the walls, and allowing me to know that I will meet you there. I thank you for becoming sin, so I do not need to deny my own failures. I thank you for becoming weak, so I do not have to pretend to be strong. I thank you for being willing to be considered imperfect and wrong and strange, so I do not have to be perfect or right or idealise the so-called normal. I thank you for not being loved or liked by so many, so I do not have to try to be so hard to be liked and loved by anybody. I thank you for being considered a failure, so I do not even have to try to be a success. I thank you for being poor in every way, so I do not have to seek being rich in any way. Crucify Jesus, I thank you for revealing all these things to me in one great image of insight and mercy. Resurrected life begins with the process of suffering, with the process of letting go. Letting go of all that we're capable of, all that we've worked hard for, all that we think we're entitled to. It's the process of letting go of our pride, our hatred, our fears, our shame, and grieving as we do. We like to hold on to these things, yet none of them help us to grow. So I wonder what needs to die in your life today? What do you need to grieve? Is it shattered dreams? Life's unfairness? Hurts, loss of ability, fear of the future, expectations of family or work or church even. What losses do we cling to that hold us down? Christianity doesn't deny these little deaths. Instead, they're used. Jesus uses them by transforming them. But he can't transform what we don't acknowledge. So what needs to be taken to the cross today? What part of us? There's something wonderfully paradoxical in all of this. If we bury or deny our struggles, if we allow pain to immobilise us, it can't flourish into signs of hope. And as we thought about on Palm Sunday, sometimes that transformation might not be quite as we expected or quite as we wanted, but nevertheless, from death, new life emerges. And the disciples were afraid of pain and suffering. Judas betrayed Jesus. Peter denied him. The others fled. And where were those that cried Hosanna on Palm Sunday? Pilate was no better. He was afraid for his own reputation. And yet, we read in Isaiah, and this is Isaiah chapter 53. I know a lot of you will know this well. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. See, even the religious ones, the ones that studied the scriptures, missed that. Their idea of God was so small, so ingrained, they couldn't entertain the idea of a God who would suffer. They wanted a God who would be pleased with their devotion and their dedication. That's very neat, isn't it? They didn't want a messy God who would be vulnerable and fail. Yet that's exactly what God asks of us. He asks for our failures and he asks for our vulnerabilities. He wants our disappointments. He wants our confusion. He wants the broken and battered bits in our lives. He doesn't want us to hide them or to be ashamed or to pretend they're not there. Because it's from these things that new life emerges. But it begins with dying to self. Let's have a moment of silence as we just ponder what we've been thinking about. And then we've got the cross here that we're going to put up on Easter Sunday, made of bits of broken pottery. And if you want to, please feel free to come, and it's sort of the last chance. There's a bit of space left. If you want to come and put a piece of broken pottery onto the cross, then it will be glued on later. Just to represent the fact that when we bring our brokenness to the cross, to Jesus, something new and something beautiful is made. So we'll just have a couple of moments in silence, and then following that, Heather is going to lead us in prayer.